It's Wednesday, November 29th, and the Wisconsin Badgers have finally found themselves in the college football playoff rankings. But they'll have their biggest test of the year this weekend against Ohio State. And the Packers played well in Pittsburgh, but it wasn't quite enough this week. Conversely, the Bucs are not playing well, and everyone wants Jason Kidd gone. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 263. I don't know if that's right. Might be 264, but we're gonna own it. Mitch on the ones and twos.
Took a week off and
Charlie
lost track.
With you. Yep, we did take a Thanksgiving holiday. Basically, just Mitch and I went to a Bucks game on Monday night, and I'm like, I don't think I want to do a podcast this week.
Yeah, with the. I guess short week or whatever you call it, you know.
Exactly.
Just not really enough time. And all, you know what? I feel like our podcasts are better when we take a week off. We come back, we're fresh, we're recharged, excited.
Yeah, and like last week would have been just super depressing with how bad the Packers played.
True.
And, you know, the Bucks then laid an egg, laid two back-to-back eggs. So, you know, we're back at it. We're going to talk a lot about college football, actually. Kind of a different spin for us, then talk a little Packers. Then Bucks and who knows what else under the sun.
Yeah.
But first, as always, Mitch, how you doing?
Like I said, good. Recharge, ready to go.
There you go. You got that mustache going.
Got the Movember rocking.
Yeah, baby.
And a couple days left.
Are you going to keep it for the weekend?
Probably not, just because it'll be December at that point.
Okay. So you're a hard stop at November 30th?
Probably.
Okay.
That's good, the plan.
The people wanted to know. I myself went clean shaven for the first time in a long time, and now it's just kind of growing back here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
They said that would happen in health class.
Yes, it does. It does. In all body parts. So, yes. So we're here to talk about the Badgers first, and yeah, we're riding the Badger wave. I don't think it's like we're on the bandwagon. We've talked about him sparingly throughout the year.
Yeah, I don't know what I guess I could be considered a bandwagon fan.
A little bit,
because I can't say that I definitely care more now than I have at all at any point this year. I'd say the last 2 weeks. You know, I got pretty pumped watching the Minnesota game a little bit.
Absolute domination.
The Iowa game too. So, you know,
right.
Both those games were, you know, I mean, the Badgers have done a good job of kind of. Sort of right when it got really loud that they're not blowing teams out, now they've put some points on the board.
Yeah.
Against the last two opponents and shut them down
on
defense.
Michigan. I mean, they didn't blow out Michigan, but they dominated that second half. Michigan didn't have an answer. Now, Grant Peters went down with an injury. But I think why there's more noise around the Badgers, more hype around the Badgers, is the fact that the Packers are where they are. And, you know, I think if the Packers were a 7-3 or, you know, 7-4, 8-3 team right now, I don't think there'd still be a lot of hype, but it'd be a little more muted, right? We have the Packers and the Badgers to look forward to, not just, I think everyone has their eyes on the Badger game on Saturday night against Ohio State. And much was made about the Badgers being number five last week and what might happen, and things fell their way. Miami loses to Pittsburgh on Friday.
Which is, you know. Shouldn't have happened.
No, and I'm not like as much of a gambler as probably I should be for all the knowledge I retain, and that's good and bad thing. But like I thought Miami plus 14 was as good of a line as I had seen in a while, just because if you think about it, it was a cold day, it was a Friday, it just was ripe. Miami like kind of looked lazy against Virginia. I didn't realize they played six of their last seven games at home before that trip out to Pittsburgh. It was just ripe. And then Alabama Alabama looked as bad as I've seen Alabama in years.
Well, and they finally played a good team.
Right, exactly. For the first time since Nick Saban's first year at Alabama, they do not have a win over a top 15 team.
Mm-hmm.
Just wrap your head around that for a quick second.
Which, you know, when you think about it that way, it's really hard to argue that they should be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's hard to argue.
I mean, we can be Alabama-less for 1 year, right?
Yeah, exactly. We could survive without Alabama. The world's going to make it. And the thing is Auburn probably shouldn't be number two right now. They have two losses. I get it. They beat Georgia and Alabama. They beat two number one teams throughout the year. But it's a consistent overvaluing of the SEC.
Yep.
At some point, there's going to be some committee who realizes, hey, the SEC isn't what it used to be. Stop. Yeah. We are.
Right. I mean, that's true, too. It's like I've stopped and thought about it recently where it's like, what's so great about the SEC? There's like four good teams.
And
the rest of it's pretty dog shit.
I mean, think about it. The SEC East is an absolute nightmare after Georgia. I mean, Kentucky had a decent year. They're a bowl team, but they got blown out by Georgia.
It's kind of an indictment on the other programs, though.
Florida's a fucking mess. Don't even get me started about Tennessee and all the bullshit that's going on there. Right. I mean, oh, my God. Just crazy. And then
I couldn't even tell you who else is in that conference or in that side of it.
Vanderbilt. So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And who
then you have the SEC West.
South Carolina's all right, but they got boat raced by Clemson last Saturday.
So what I'm saying is you basically have two decent teams, two good teams in each half of the SEC.
And then
LSU's
okay, but like, yeah.
But, I mean, and then you have Arkansas, who now doesn't have a coach.
Right, and Ole Miss.
Nobody wants that
and
job.
And Ole Miss is full of scandal. And so, yeah, that's the whole point. It's like, and you look at, like, what the Pac-12 has done, even though the Pac-12 doesn't have the results in the playoffs, they have the coaches like Pac-12, Big Ten. I mean, they every year so the overvaluing of the SEC is tough.
Yep.
But the Badgers basically have to win in their end. They knew that from the start. I do think that if the Badgers win and like let's say everything goes chalk, I think they flip with Oklahoma and I think they are the 3 seed and I think it's Auburn and Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl.
I feel good about that.
I probably do too. Well,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are, but that's basically what we're probably looking for, right? Is I think Wisconsin jumps Oklahoma because I don't think that they're gonna devalue Wisconsin's undefeated. They might even bump them to number two and say, okay, you beat Ohio State, we believe you now.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that stuff really doesn't matter in college. I mean, 2 and 3 because it's a neutral site game.
Right, exactly. So, the 2 and 3 doesn't matter. It just matters getting out of that 4 spot and if you have to avoid playing Clemson. Now, where it becomes really interesting is if Clemson were to lose, like, you know, how does that cookie crumble? I do think, and this is basically what college football wanted, that these are all playing games, essentially. Oklahoma, win and you're in. Clemson, win and you're in. Maybe get in if you lose. Maybe. There are ways that I think a 2-loss Clemson team is probably better than a 1-loss Alabama team.
Probably.
I just do. They beat Auburn at the beginning of the year, and that might be your proof in your pudding.
Wisconsin, win, you're in.
Wisconsin, win, you're in. Ohio State maybe win, you're in. So this is exactly how, and people are like, college football.
Ohio State has working against or with them, much like Wisconsin, is that they are that northern team.
Yeah.
That I think that if you want to draw a national audience, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a good sized sect of people that like kind of will just tune out the whole playoff on New Year's Day altogether because it's four southern teams.
You know? I do and I don't because
Ohio State's a big brand.
Feel like if you have, let's just pick four teams. Let's say it's Clemson, it's Georgia,
Alabama,
and Auburn. Oklahoma.
Or Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Those are four huge college football fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what,
you gotta kind of take your college football fan goggles off.
No, I'm not. But no. These teams routinely draw. These are some of the top paying institutions. These are some of the top traveling fan bases.
Who are they paying?
Their coaches, not the players, and maybe the players. Well, yeah. But you know what I mean. I understand.
Did you get my text by the way, Josh Gordon?
Oh, about the weed? That? Yeah, yeah.
Making
about
10 grand a month or something, he said.
Slinging weed.
Slinging dope. At
Josh
at
Gordon back.
Yeah.
4,100 on DK this week, by the way.
Yeah,
that's it. Mm-hmm. But he's playing the Chargers. Chargers, very good. Very good. I'll have one or two shares of Josh Gordon just cuz.
Yeah, your boy Casey Hayward will shut him down, though.
You bet. We'll talk some NFL. I have a couple of other NFL things besides just the normal Packer conjunction later. But sticking on topic, you know. I don't know if the North thing matters. I really don't. I think
I just think that the committee probably tries to tries to avoid it.
Yeah, I would say that they would like to have as much of a, you know, sort of all locations thing. So let's talk about Wisconsin-Ohio State itself. So we don't know if JT Barrett's going to play. He has the knee injury with the mysterious...
I believe he's up to probable, though.
Oh, he's up to probable? Okay, yeah. So he's going to play.
They mentioned this in the broadcast of the Wisconsin game, too. The last time Ohio State, or JT Barrett,
heard... Cardale Jones.
Cardale Jones came in and they lost 59-0.
Right, and I don't... So here's the thing about
JT... But Ohio State also had Joey Bosa.
Yeah, here's the thing about JT Barrett. So I think you hear it all the time from the national media, like JT Barrett doesn't get the respect that he deserves. You know why that is? Is because like guys like Dwayne Haskins come in and look like studs in that same system, and JT Barrett's just a system quarterback. Now, he tore up Wisconsin last year at Camp Randall. He had a great game. They went to overtime, if you remember. That was a fantastic football game. And I think you could have something similar. I think
pretty turnt watching that game.
Oh yeah, we were at that was a great night because we had the Cubs Dodgers game that night at my house, and we set up both TVs.
All I know is that
we got that super drunk
Oktoberfest weekend.
Yeah, so. we got very that was a very drunk evening, but anyways, this Badger team is better, and that Ohio State team is worse. Ohio State JT Barrett's been susceptible to turnovers. Jim Leonard's defense is as good as I've seen a Badger defense. Now, the Badgers have
That's saying a lot.
I know, but 10 total points in the last three games. 10 total points. TJ.
Yeah, and what, 200 yards maybe?
Yeah. TJ Edwards is as big of a stud. If they could get Chris Orr back, I don't know if he's going to play.
Think of how many guys they've lost.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I know.
Next man up.
Plug and play.
Nick Nelson, Derek Tindall have done a great job at corner. I mean... They have guys. They have just dudes all over that defense. And Ryan Conley seems to make a play every game. You know, Garrett Dooley. You just go out. Leon Jacobs. I mean, they got guys all over the place. They have a lot of NFL guys on that defense that are going to be productive
Dakota
NFL
Dixon.
Player. Dakota Dixon. Yeah.
Derek Tindall.
Joe Ferguson, who's the walk-on, who's like you're
That's
like
Barry
oh,
Alvarez's
right,
grandson,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. The broadcast will tell you.
I think my dad told me that or something, and I was like, really? I didn't know that.
Silver Spooner, but he's had a good year. He had two interceptions in that Indiana game, so they have guys. And you know, my dad is like, Jim Leonard's going to, like, get other jobs. I'm like, I don't think he'd leave. I actually think if Leonard has one or two more good years like this, the NFL is going to call him.
Right.
It's not going to be college. It's going to be the NFL.
Right. And he's still really young.
Yeah, he's super young. And so,
was he, like, 35? Maybe?
Right. And there could be a youth movement in the NFL with the McVay shit.
Sure.
You know,
for sure. Across sports, that's happened.
Yeah.
Except for, like, NHL, you know.
That's about it. But, you know,
there's more retreads than a freaking, I don't know what in the NHL.
So then you go on you flip it. And while Joey Bosa is not there, Nick Bosa is, and he's pretty good. And Ohio State has some guys, of course, they have about as athletic as, and the question is can Alex Hornibrook hold his water in the first half just enough? And can Jonathan Taylor not fumble the football?
Yeah.
And so it all come down to turnovers. I think in a game like that, Michigan showed with John O'Korn, who is not—he's not a good quarterback. They could move the ball on Ohio State.
Yeah.
So they showed they could move the ball, and if they can move the ball, Alex Hornibrook looked as good as he's looked all year against Minnesota. I don't know if you'll see that same quarterback, but the Badgers have some talented young wide receivers, and you have to be excited about the future of this team because they're all young. And this could be a regular thing for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, your quarterback's a sophomore. Jonathan Taylor's a freshman, as we all know. Had some fun, but I did see that he had to carry a ball this week on campus.
Classic
football guy move.
Big football guy move.
The other receivers, because of some injuries.
Right. And they're fun as hell. Like, Kendrick Pryor is great. I mean, they've ran that the end-around jet sweep with Kendrick Pryor. I don't know if you can do that.
They like that play a lot.
Yeah, that they do. Well, it's because you can get those big hog mollies out in space, and they can make some blocks.
Like Biotish just throws his gut into people.
Biotish,
he's a freshman too.
Biotish is a monster. Bo Benzenwall.
Benchwall,
Benchwall. He's
from Grafton.
Is he from Grafton?
Yep.
Huh. They got dudes, man.
Well, yeah, and the line, it's every year. It's just plug and play with those guys too.
And so I think this is a very close game. I actually think the Wisconsin Badgers get it done. I think they win 27-21. I think Ohio State does score a little bit more. Maybe even a Hornibrook turnover is one of the reasons why they have 21. But I like Wisconsin. I think I just think they have as much talent as Ohio State, and they can compete, and they can force JT Barrett into some bad decisions.
That's true. The Badgers' defense is really good, man.
And, and maybe I'm 21's too high. I don't know. Could be more like 17-14 or something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully Hornibrook is as good as the guy we've seen last week. Michigan, he wasn't really good against.
Michigan, he had a good drive. Half. It was the second or two. Half. He kind of woke up after that interception.
He made some throws in the second half, for sure. Oh, man, I think it's going to be close.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be devastating for our friends who care too much about
I know.
Badgers.
That's the thing is, like, I just don't trust the Badgers, you know.
It's the Brewer thing. It's like, wait for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah,
they're
going
to get beat 41-14. Yeah. It's not even going to matter.
Let's put it this way. It could get ugly in favor of Ohio State. I don't see the Badgers blowing out Ohio State.
Really?
You know what I mean?
After what Iowa did to them.
I'm saying, like, the likelihood of a blowout would be, if it's going to be a blowout, Ohio State's winning that blowout. There's no way Hornibrook is putting up 40 points against Ohio State.
Yeah, but think about how Iowa did it. It was they picked Barrett off four times.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. That's true. So, I mean, wow. I don't know. I'll go Badgers. The hell with it.
All right.
24-21.
Lock it up.
Yeah.
Both taking the Badgers. All right, real quick, because I know we have other topics. Do you like any Miami-Clemson? I think Clemson wins by two touchdowns.
Yeah. Where do they play that?
Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would probably go... Give me Miami in that one.
When has Mark Richt won a big game in his life? I don't know.
not really at Georgia. Yeah, no. I guess.
Speaking of Georgia, Georgia-Auburn. I actually... Sneaky. So... Georgia lost 40-10. I don't know how good Georgia is. I don't know if they're that good, but I kind of like Georgia in this spot just because I feel like Alabama, maybe a little bit of body blow theory from our boys at Solid Verbal, who kind of have coined that phrase, maybe a little beat up, and I think Georgia might get them.
Yeah, I'll take Auburn.
Okay.
Just to be devil's advocate, obviously they played really well against Alabama, who, you know, that's who everybody thinks is the best team in the world.
And then
and they pretty much destroyed them.
And then finally, Oklahoma, TCU. I got Oklahoma.
I'll take Oklahoma 75-70.
Baker Mayfield probably on his way to a Heisman. So,
nut grab and all.
Did you hear? I blogged it. Snowtap WI.
Are they going to remold the Heisman for him?
Maybe. Did you hear the hot take that Barry Switzer had last week?
Mm-mm.
He said the reason he was grabbing his crotch is because Madonna and Michael Jackson made it famous.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
That's fantastic. Barry Switzer just stuck in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Barry, like, gets onto the field and goes, why'd they run the wishbone? Where's the wishbone?
I mean, do you think Barry Switzer has any idea who Selena Gomez is, or Bruno Mars, or some, you know, major superstar?
Dude, Barry has swag, though. Like, he wears, like, fur coats. Like, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, do you think he could point spot them out of a lineup?
Maybe. I'd have multiple lone stars with Barry Switzer.
I mean, there's plenty of people that I don't know, but I'm saying those are like,
you're right,
major stars that
I don't know. I think who would know more, like, now celebrities, Barry Switzer or Jimmy Johnson?
Jimmy Johnson for sure.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's on Fox. He lives in LA.
Yeah.
He's got a fake tan.
He lives in Florida, but he flies in.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he lives in the Keys. There was, like, not to get, like,
no
sad,
wonder he's so...
But he had, damn, like, a devastating story about, like, the hurricane basically fucked his whole world up.
Hmm.
But, you know, let's not get sad here.
Right.
Speaking of the NFL, we're going to talk about the Packers.
Why you don't live in the Florida Keys?
Hey, maybe not. So, I think...
If a little snow never hurt anybody?
No. Well, in Florida, snow doesn't hurt them either.
Mm-mm.
If you catch my
drift. I'm just saying if you, yeah. Oh. I'm just saying
if you didn't get that originally.
No, I didn't. But if you get, you know, obviously we get snowstorms, but that's about it.
Yep, that is about it. So the NFL. So I think if we would have done this podcast last week, I would have been very depressed. I would have been very much like, I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what's the Baltimore.
Just completely lost.
Right, exactly. And I said, Pittsburgh. I mean, maybe. Maybe they come through and it's like a 35-21 game and they, you know, whatever, Pittsburgh puts them away at the end.
Beat them down!
But didn't happen. In fact, Packers hung in there the entire game.
Yep. That was,
That was a fantastic football game.
For sure.
That was the best football game, best Packer game I've watched
in a while.
Since the Dallas game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
I think here's my thoughts on the Packer game.
Go ahead.
If there's ever been a moral victory, that was it.
Yeah, and people...
Because there was 99.9% of Packer Nation, as large as it is, thought they were going to lose by 4 touchdowns.
Yes.
That there was absolutely no chance that they might as well not even show up.
That thought they were turning off the game at 9 o'clock, or thought they were going to watch Duke and Florida play basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty damn good game. You know, they're like, oh, I'll just turn on Duke
and
Florida.
And here you are, Brett Hundley did something in the first half.
Yeah.
And, you know... they almost should have won that game.
No, and they should have. I mean, the TJ Watt.
If you want to be upset, then be upset that they lost to Baltimore so badly.
Yeah, I think there's that. I think it's like, wow, we could have easily beat Baltimore. So there's a lot of things to unpack.
And you saw a lot of good things from Hundley, who played a pretty solid defense.
Yeah.
Artie Burns wasn't very good.
No, Artie Burns got toast.
He had a couple penalties, too.
And you have to wonder now a little bit, like, the Steelers.
But the Steelers are 9-2.
Yeah. The Steelers
I don't think they're anywhere near that good.
No. And it's due to they had a pretty good defense, and the defense is now showing a little bit of leak and showing some cracks. But here's my question. So, first of all, with the game itself, if Jamal Williams doesn't go out of bounds on that screenplay, the Steelers likely goes to overtime, and who the hell knows what happens then? Who knows?
Right.
So, there's that. Then, Brett Hundley, you know, okay, so I have a couple thoughts. Number one, do you think that Mike McCarthy has finally figured out, shall we call it, the secret sauce of what exactly is the best way to use Hundley? Because I think there was a little bit of that.
Well, what would that be?
That he opened the play. He just started doing, like, you know, Randall Cobb found himself wide open. Devontae Adams found himself wide open.
Well, I just think that, like, it comes down to Hundley playing with more confidence in himself. You know, and stepping up in the pocket.
Right,
and
they mentioned that on the broadcast multiple times.
Which he wasn't doing much of.
No.
You know, to speak of, where he was a lot of rolling out, a lot of, at the first sign of, just, you know, duress, he was out of there.
Yeah, he looked much more confident.
And then
confident.
Rolling out and throwing it out of bounds, you know. Whereas, you know, he was really good.
Yeah, he looked much more confident. So then my other question.
And then there was a blown coverage, which probably, you know, definitely, you know, that's the opposite of what happened against Baltimore. You went right down the field the first drive and then threw a bad pick in the end zone.
Right, and I think that threw him off the entire game.
Down the field, this time, he finds Cobb wide open on a breakdown in coverage.
Yeah.
So, you know, that probably helped him so much, because once he threw that pick against Baltimore, it was all over for him.
Right.
So then, you know, when you go out and do that thing against the Steelers, you know, then you look like you can handle it.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure McCarthy then, you know, it's a different vibe on the sideline.
Right. And so do you have any worry that Hundley, that the idea of him playing in Lambeau Field kind of rattles him? So he's played now at Lambeau twice.
Well,
Lions game and the Ravens game, and both were, he was pretty damn shaky.
True. And I will probably subscribe to the theory that he's not used to playing in cold weather.
He said that. They said that in the broadcast, that he said, like, I didn't realize I had to put more air under the ball because I had to throw harder.
You're right. I did catch that. That he had to put more air under the ball, throw harder,
you know,
ball dies easier, whatever. You know, plus being cold is a thing.
Yep.
You know, as much as football players are going to be tough about it, and, you know, we both played football, you know, in cold weather up here in Wisconsin, and, you know, you don't want to admit you're cold, but you're freezing your ass off.
Absolutely.
And it's like, when you've played pretty much your whole life, in Arizona, he's from Arizona, and then he went to UCLA. He's played in Pac-12 weather.
Yep.
You know, where it's not even an issue, and now he's got to get used to it.
That's an astute point. I do think though that at the end of the day, they're not going to do it at middle of the season, and it's too late now. Dom Capers is going to get fired. Not get fired, but Dom Capers is going to retire or resign.
Yeah.
It's just.
Kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, right, because you can't keep it this up. Like, they are so bad on third down. They're such a bad red zone defense. It has to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can stick with a 3-4 mentality. I think the fact that Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward.
Jim Leonard.
Maybe. You'll get a lot of pinhead respect.
Oh, for sure.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
But the fact that Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde have found themselves in very good situations elsewhere, I think bothers Ted Thompson. I think it bothers, because I think Ted looks at it and is like, why the hell did we not see this?
Yep.
What did we miss here? And so also the fact that like HaHa has fallen off a cliff this year can't make them happy either. That he was a near Pro Bowler and now he's a shell of himself.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
I think that's just kind of a, you know, it's a shame in it, but it's also, I think it's just kind of a bad year.
It probably is.
I don't think it's the norm.
But you're right. So I think, you know, the defense was still putrid. They do face guys like, you know, they face maybe Jameis Winston, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Tampa team that has a little bit of offense with Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson. Sean Jackson hates the cold, though.
Yeah.
A little known fact.
Tampa Bay's done.
Right. And they can't run the football. Doug Martin, I think, got a concussion in that last game. They have nobody really to Jaquizz Rodgers, I guess. But then I had this from Andy Benoit, who is doing film review of the Bucs. He said, Bucs play less man coverage than any team in the NFL. They're purely a zone defense. Defensively, the Bucs are very easy to dictate matchups against. Everyone plays in the same spot, snap after snap. So basically what he's saying is they're as predictable as it comes.
Right.
And Mike McCarthy's going to look at what Matt Ryan and Julio Jones did and say, okay, why can't Davante Adams and Brett Hundley do the same thing? And Davante Adams, if there was, you know what, you were asking for YouTube clips. We really should have got the Rounders, pay the man his money. Because Davante Adams is going to get paid. And I think he deserves it. I think the Packers, I love Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb's only 25. It's crazy to think that. And maybe you keep Randall Cobb. But, yeah, you have to look at reallocating some funds in that wide receiver. Because Davante is your number one guy for sure.
And will the real Demaryius Randall please stand up?
Well, right. To the pro caper side of it, Demaryius Randall's finally found himself. And he's finally found where he fits. And it's that slot Chuck Woodson kind of role. And that's a great thing.
Which makes sense because he was a safety in college.
Right.
But
and
I'll let my boy Herm Edwards do the talking here. If I can find it, there we go.
Hello.
Herm Edwards up for the Arizona State job. Yeah. He hasn't coached since 2002.
And he's 63 years old.
What the fuck? What is going on in college football?
I was seeing some tweets from a guy who's a Suns beat writer, but he must be an Arizona State alum or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
How like he's like, you're telling me that Herm Edwards is gonna go recruit when he's 68 years old, you know? And also apparently they wanted their coordinators to stay, but just get a new head coach, and it's like, yeah, that's not happening with Herm Edwards, you know?
No.
He's not gonna come. Granted, you can sell Arizona and that sort of, you know, well, kind of retirement.
The best part is like Mac Brown was like, oh yeah, I'd come back. Mac Brown's like, I got one more run left in me. I mean, if I'm Mac, shoot your shot. Sup?
Yeah, right. No kidding.
So
play to win the game.
I think the Packers win pretty nicely. 27-16.
Herm Edwards, are you serious?
I think so.
Good Maybe, Lord.
That can't be right.
I got to look that up.
That was the last time he won a division title. He's probably coached. He probably coached till.
He coached the Chiefs after the Jets, right? Yeah. So he was there till like probably
2010, maybe.
Yeah. Hold on here. So the Jets till 2005.
Okay.
And then the Chiefs was 2008.
Okay. So that's still 10 years.
Right.
A lot of football's happened then.
Yeah.
Since then. Okay, where was I?
Kind of like when Jason Kidd played and got drafted in 94 and he's still living there.
And we will get to Jason
Kidd
momentarily. Very hot second. But first, a prediction. I think the Packers win 27-16.
Ooh.
I think they have a very nice game. We have to listen to Greg Jennings as the color guy, which just shoot me in the face right now.
So what are we getting, like Kenny Albert or something?
Tim Brando.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this on Fox?
Yeah.
Is that like the last broadcast team?
Maybe.
It's probably got to be.
We have Dick Stockton and Mark Schlereth. At least you don't have Dick Stockton. Dick Stockton barely knows where he is.
Yeah.
Dick Stockton's like, and we're here in lovely County Stadium. Dick, you're in Green Bay. Oh, that's right.
And Brett Favre is the quarterback.
Brett Favre back the pass. You probably call him Huntley.
Brent Huntley.
You probably get Abdaris.
Abradis. Jared Abradis. Yeah.
Chris Myers.
Tim Brando. Good Lord.
Yeah, Tim Brando. Tim Brando's okay.
Sure.
Tim Brando does college basketball games. He does.
How the mighty have fallen. I mean, you would have at worst case scenario got Tom Brenneman with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So I kind of hate Tom Brenneman, so I'm kind of glad that Tom Brenneman just is always on my shit list because he ran his mouth about Ryan Braun. So he acts like someone shits in the corner every time the Reds give up a home run. It's super funny. If you listen to his home run calls, he's so bitchy about it. Like, so bitchy. Yeah. It's funny. But yeah, Greg Jennings, like, fuck that guy forever. I can't believe they're letting him come back to Green Bay.
Oh, they're fucking trolling the Packers.
I hope someone just sort of, if you see the movie She's Out of My League, I just watched it last night for maybe the 16th time. Great movie. Totally recommend it. Alice Eve. Woo! Anyways, at the end of the movie, his brother, it just holds up the middle finger as they're getting ready to board a plane, just looking at him. I hope some fan just looks up and just has the middle finger raised to Greg Jennings the entire game. And if he gets kicked out, I will pay for his fine. Don't worry about it. I'm just kidding. I have a lot of Christmas gifts to get.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then.
Seriously. Okay, see ya. Get out of here. Get out of here. No one wants you, Greg. Just Brando. Okay, see ya. Brando, let just Brando do it. So, other just quick NFL notes. Eli Manning getting benched was like a national catastrophe.
He was fucking crying in the locker room.
Well, so this furthers my point, and maybe this is probably a conversation for at the end of this year. If the Packers miss the playoffs.
LeBron James got ejected tonight.
Yeah,
holy shit.
I was going to bring that up at the very end, but you ruined my ending.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's fine. You just
Long overdue.
You got a notification. But Eli, why did the Packers trade for Eli Manning? Like, why? This kind of been brought up.
I think it's the Giants.
They just
held on to him.
Yeah, that's also true. Like, why didn't someone understand with a brain that made sense?
And maybe Eli was just such a professional.
I mean,
even though
he has a no trade clause.
Even though he forced his way to New York when he got drafted. People forget that. Maybe such a professional that he just, obviously I was reading some stuff that he wanted Geno Smith to play or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like he didn't get in the way of that.
Yeah. But I think I'm sure he's also like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess the question is if
he's like, shit, I'd go play in Jacksonville right now.
Right. Well,
under Tommy Coughlin.
Well, that's the other thing. I think I'm sure you never know. I mean, the Jaguars may have. It's a very interesting with he would be. We'll see what happens with the Jags for the end of the year. But yeah, so I'm not even going to try to talk through the playoff picture for the Packers because they're so crowded. There is so much that has to happen for the Packers. I'm not saying the Packers are dead until they're actually dead. They have 7 losses. They're dead. Right now, a lot can happen. Let us not forget.
You have to win these next 2 games.
Absolutely, you can't.
If you don't beat Tampa Bay, you're fucked.
You have to go 10-6. You have to go 10-6. You have to run the table again
because the NFC South's getting 3 teams.
Maybe they all play each other. That's the really interesting thing. So when I looked at it, Carolina, the Packers' best friends are the Saints and the Vikings because the Vikings play the Falcons and the Panthers. The
you want those teams to just keep rolling.
Exactly. And now but it's interesting, and it has happened before. You know, the Lions, remember, were like 8-9-2, and they'd blown out the Packers on Thanksgiving, and people were like, wow, the Packers are going to miss the playoffs, and the Lions lost the rest of their games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would happen with the Vikings, but you never know. I'm just saying, like, a lot can happen in these next 4 weeks that could literally, like, you're telling me that Russell Wilson has to get into shootouts every time out because he doesn't have Cam Chancellor's out for the year. They have half the Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
They have to play Philadelphia at home, which would be a great
Chancellor
game.
Chancellor and Richard Sherman are both out for the year.
Right. I mean, it should be a great game with Carson Wentz versus Russell Wilson on Sunday Night Football. Yeah. That's an awesome game.
Dude, the Eagles are fucking good.
I watched the entire Eagles-Bears game.
I watched a lot of that, yeah.
And you are right. The Eagles are awesome.
And it's been kind of beaten this week, but they're the most, like, you know, that drum's been beaten, but they're the most complete team.
Absolutely.
I mean, their defense is pretty nasty.
Well, Jim Schwartz.
Their offense, you've got Wentz, you've got who's athletic. I know, but nobody would say that.
No, he's sneaky.
He's not even sneaky. Like, that dude's 6'5", he can run.
Are you on the Wentz wagon? Absolutely. I like Carson Wentz a lot.
I mean, I have been all year. And even last year, you know.
Who do you like? Do you like Jared Goff too? Because I like Jared Goff.
Do I have to pick between the two? I mean,
no, yeah, I really
society
don't want to. See, that's the thing.
I don't give a shit. They're both fine. I mean,
see, that's kind of the cool thing about football right now. And, like, I know that a lot of Packer fans will be like, God, what? This has been a shitty season. I'm like, you know what? Like, I really enjoy watching.
Yeah, like, there's these teams that shouldn't be that good that are good.
Yeah,
it's like,
the Eagles were a joy to watch them.
I mean,
kick the
what do you want?
Ass.
The Cowboys every year, the Packers every year.
Yeah, exactly. Screw that.
Yeah,
I loved watching the Eagles, and I loved watching the Rams play the Saints. Yeah. Like, I love McVay's offense. I'm like, can I just come work for you, Sean McVay?
Plus, like, Alvin Kamara and the Saints.
Kamara, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's some teams that I think that a lot of people around here don't really, you know, pay attention to that. Are probably worth tuning into. But back to the Eagles, you got Jeffrey, and you got some good weapons, a good tight
Zach
end,
Ertz.
Obviously.
Yeah.
God damn it. And the inside joke here is that I kept him on a fantasy team last year, and he didn't do shit all year. And then, of course, he has a huge year this year. But anyway, their defense, and then their running backs.
Yeah.
You got the blunt man, you got Jay Ajayi now, who's kind of the sort of all around back. Corey Clement's a red zone specialist.
Yeah.
I mean, he's worth a look in fantasy football.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In a deep league.
The Eagles are a lot of fun. And I think, you know.
So are the Vikings. Dude, Case Keenum's was fun to watch on Thursday.
Go fly kite.
Chuck will never. He'll never. Their defense isn't legit. Case Keenum sucks.
Nothing would be sweeter, though. I've decided that if I'm gonna have to
lose in the Super Bowl at home?
No. Oh God. No. I don't even want I want it to be the NFC Championship game again, and a pick is thrown at, like, they have a home field. They're like, they're staying home for the Super Bowl, all this bluster, and then they lose like 32-0. It would be awesome.
Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah. You'd get a great Paul Allen clip. Oh, man. I love it.
That would be.
So
Paul Allen's beating his chest on the air. And
oh, got it. Yeah. So we've dodged it long enough. I guess we have to talk about the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch and I, like, they're all of a sudden the Bucks are regulated to the redhead stepchild of our podcast. So 2 weeks ago, Bucks have won 4 games in a row. They were on their way to win their 4th against Detroit. We taped that Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lay an egg in Dallas. Then we watch him against Washington lay another egg.
Scored like 88 points that night, yep.
Giannis rests against the Suns in what may have been one of the worst NBA games I've watched in a while.
Phoenix, luckily, was worse.
Yeah, 29 turnovers. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch them that night, it's like, how have they won 8 games this year or whatever?
And then that Utah game was a calamity, especially on defense.
Yeah, I mean, they were okay for about 2.5 quarters. And then, I mean, they were leading in the third quarter at parts of the third quarter. I mean, you know, obviously it's still, I mean, they were doing enough offensively and just enough defensively. And then the wheels fell off.
Late
in the third, they went on a run, and the fourth was just ugly.
And then Jason Kidd's throwing everyone under the bus. That's not his fault that things are going wrong. And that's, I think, where people are starting to get the Fire Kidd movement in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
He
and then everyone loses their minds.
It's so bad. But I mean, look at this quote from tonight. So we're taping this Tuesday night. We don't know how the Bucks. If the Bucks lose to the Kings, everyone is probably going to have a full-fledged meltdown.
True.
It is going to be, you want to watch the world burn on NBA Twitter. Stay up till like midnight if the Bucks lose, cuz it is going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what Jason Kidd said. So Chris Middleton had illness. But, hey, Jason, you know, he'll play and start. We'll monitor his minutes. Said either GP or Snell will start. Asked about the lack of spacing with GP, and he said GP brings defense and playmaking. Added that you can't lose a game in the first 3 minutes. What?
Man, that's...
What is that?
That's like I'm about to get fired type of quote, isn't it? I mean, you're like, I'm done too, or something like that.
I mean, what in the fuck? What was question. Oh my God.
I mean, that's a poor statement by a kid.
Oh, that is so bad. But can I also say something? I'm looking at the mentions because it's our boy Manny Velasquez had that by the way. But can we stop tagging Alex Lazary in these tweets, guys?
Yeah.
Can we just stop? With that. Like, what is Alex Lazary gonna do? I will admit, it was funny to watch the Bucks carry the water with the whole Giannis dust up, the social media team. They went out on a full political spin zone.
Yeah, they did.
And did like a whole political spin on this. Like, Giannis cares and like they're best buddies and like, yeah. Like it was.
Yeah, when I saw the Giannis cares article from Alex Bader, I was like, Jesus.
Straight out of the Lazarus playbook with the Dems. That's exactly it. That wasn't meant politically. It's just he works in politics or worked in politics. He knows what he's doing.
Spin zone.
It's exactly how you'd spin a political thing. Mm-hmm. You're like, we're going to spin this into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Good try. But everyone saw through it.
I mean, they're not wrong, but it's like,
I think they are
friends. They're brothers. They're tight. They do everything together. And obviously brothers get, but it's like, I just think the players are sick and tired of getting told to try harder.
Yeah. I think they're sick of the scheme. They're telling Jason Kidd, it doesn't work in today's NBA. Get it through your goddamn head.
Right.
That's exactly what everyone's saying. And he is not listening. And I think that is where everybody's had enough. I have been on the fence. I have been up and down with Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's like this girl at the bar who just, you see her. You see her every now and again, and you just, like, sometimes you're very attractive, sometimes she breaks your heart. I am done. I'm done with Jason Kidd. I said that on Saturday. I mean it.
Get the fuck out!
There's nothing he can do. But, that being said, David Fizdale did get fired by Memphis, and everyone's like, oh my God, we gotta get David Fizdale. Let's chill on that. Because the Bucks aren't gonna just hire and fire. It's not how it works.
Right.
And the only way Kidd would get fired is if the Bucks were really bad and they lost like 8 straight, as you mentioned in a group chat. But even then, Joe Prunty's probably going to get the interim job. They're not going to give it to David Fizdale, not till the next year, if that even happens. Who knows if Fizdale fits the philosophy? The fact that whatever happened with him and Marc Gasol, we don't know. I would have personally kept Fizdale over Marc Gasol. I would have traded Marc Gasol to the Bucks, and then, yeah, that's what I would have done.
Middleton and Thon for Marc Gasol. Who says no?
I would not say no to that.
I wouldn't say no.
Would not say no to Marc Gasol. But anyways.
He's kind of soft. He's kind of old. But
I think you're going to start seeing this where people are going to be like, well, this guy could coach and this guy coach. It's like, guys, you can't, like, this is not how it works. Like, you have to understand that this is going to be a process. And mm-hmm. That it's yes, I think Kidd.
This is kind of like the beginning stages. Yeah,
exactly. This is last year.
Where
Mark
it's now
Jackson.
Everyone has turned on him.
And Dan Schaefer of now, I think he works for the Seattle Business Journal, but yep. Noted Bucks fan.
Yep.
Had a great thing, and he retweeted himself, but he tweeted this out in early August. He said either Jason Kidd is going to propel this team to 50 wins, or they're going to just be a 500 team. And I think that's super smart. Because that is exactly it. It's either Jason Kidd is not Mark Jackson, or, oh yeah, Jason Kidd is exactly Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
And they need a Steve Kerr-like mind in that with that team. And I think those guys out there, I don't know if it's Fizdale, but I think you can get a Steve Kerr-like coach to coach Giannis Antetokounmpo. Milwaukee is no longer a place where coaches won't want to go.
Yeah.
Coaches will want to coach for with Giannis.
Plus, and it's not, we have no head cases here.
No.
So, you know, last year you could, maybe could have argued Beasley, but he's unimportant. So,
no.
You know, we have no head cases here. I like to think anyone would come here and it'd be, you know, a seamless transition.
Did you see Michael Beasley and Nurkic nearly threw down?
Did they?
Yeah.
Well,
that's two
hotheads.
Yeah. that's like fire and ice, right? Like,
yeah.
Just no.
Yep.
That's not good. But yeah, I think, you know, see, here's the effed up thing. If they beat Sacramento twice this week and lose to Portland and they're 3-2 in this kind of, like, they're fine. Like, that's.
Yeah, I know. I mean.
That's the, like, annoying thing. I get it. I know.
Well, I think I said that to you when we chatted on, or texted on, like, Sunday. I was like, you know, they're only 9-9. You know, it's not. Not like they're 5-12 right now. Right. And, you know, then kid would probably almost, I don't know. I don't know where the expectations realistically are.
Right.
I mean, I think the expectations are 50 wins.
Yeah.
The players were saying it at the beginning of the year, so I think that's the expectations.
Yeah. You
know, and obviously the relationship with Lazary and Kidd, you know, I don't know. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough.
Well, and
let's... Because look at last year. Right when the shit was... People, they if you remember, March 1st last year, they
Nuggets.
Got blown out by the Nuggets at home.
Yeah.
And that was rock bottom for last season. And something clicked. The guys got, I don't know if the guys just said, fuck it, we're not doing this. And they rattled off that huge march after that. And, I mean, granted, it took a 13 out of 15 stretch to make the playoffs, but they got it done.
Right.
And, you know, if it has to happen again this year, hopefully, you know, it does and they get to 45, 46. I mean, then you're probably keeping Jason Kidd, I guess.
So I will say this December is tough. Because you get December.
A lot of back-to-backs.
A
lot of Friday, Saturdays, pretty much every weekend.
You go Celtics. You have to play the Rockets. You have to play the Cavaliers. You have to play the Timberwolves. You have to play the Thunder. And you have to play the Raptors. The Raptors are on the first of the... But those are a lot of good teams. Now, there are two games with the Bulls in there that you have to win. You probably should beat the Mavericks at home. You should beat the Kings at home. So there are some winnable games in there.
Yeah.
But you're... You know, you could really be looking at a 500 team until the start of the new year. And I think a lot of people would be pissed off, but, you know, we'll see.
Shit, you probably take it if you really look at the schedule.
Right, exactly. So, we'll see.
I mean, there will be better days.
So this is the other thing. Like, this is a lot like last year where it was this roller coaster.
Yep.
But I do think that there are some fundamental things wrong with Jason Kidd, and he's not saying the right things.
For sure.
I think that's the problem. Yep. He's sounding like a guy who is not willing to admit that he's wrong.
Whatever you read tonight, I mean, that's a quote that either A, he either thinks he's done at some point, or he thinks he's untouchable.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm going to talk shit basically about Gary Payton II. One of his guys, you know, that he's started for some reason. He probably shouldn't even be on the big team right now.
Right.
You know, I mean, we are short with Dele out, but, you know, that's a very arrogant comment.
I mean, would Dele be starting right now because of his playmaking and defense?
No.
I'm just saying.
He's missed, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But like I said, he does good enough things, but there's a lot of times you just want to wring his neck.
No doubt.
So.
All right.
Well, I guess that's probably going to do it here on Tapping the Keg, huh?
I mean, you know, we...
Now we're all pissed off and we get to go watch a shitty game tonight?
We're all mad. No, I'm trying to think what could be happy. What could we happily bring it around to? Christmas season's coming up. Christmas holiday party season's coming up. Everyone's looking forward to it. It'll be all right. Like you said, brighter days are ahead. You know, if the Bucks, Badgers, and Packers all win this weekend, everyone will be just merry and jolly and start it off right.
Yep.
But we shall see.
What's the Dave Matthews line? Eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we'll die.
There you go. Okay. So on that note, we will talk about all those things next week. Who knows? Maybe the hot stove will actually get started. We're all waiting on Ohtani. That's all we're waiting on.
Yeah. Fuck that guy too.
Oh, we could, yeah.
I mean,
how cocky is it to put out a questionnaire for all 32 teams?
Exactly.
Like, I would like to know how you will use me. Will you have fluff towels for me and a masseuse?
Yeah.
I would like a masseuse.
Power
is
move,
that available?
But...
Oh, big time power move. So
this is out of a movie.
Exactly. Very much so. So, well, yeah, it just happened. So I'm going to bite my tongue so I don't get in trouble. Okay. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Have a good rest of your week, Tappers. See you.
See you.